Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Oh, He means more to me than the riches of this world. He is my guide, my shield and my sword. I love the Lord because He first loved me.
Yeah. God. Wonderful Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Glory to God.
I do love the Lord for what He's done in my life.
Yes.
What a wonderful Savior He is. That grace, that mercy, that love that we feel each and every time we come in here and we just lift up our hands. Yes. We can touch into that covering and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
You're the reason I'm here, Lord, and I appreciate it so much. I love Him for what He's done for me. And as the song was talking about, love Him. He first loved me. You know, when I was yet a sinner, before I was ever even conceived, God looked down. He loved each and every one of us. He loved us, you know, in that verse where God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, while I was yet a sinner, while there was nothing good in me at all, God said, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to show you my love. I'm going to show you my way. And I want to thank God today. I want to lift up my hands and say, thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, for that love, for that mercy that He's shown. I just appreciate that so much, just being able to feel this covering, being able to feel His Spirit. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have that today, and I don't want to take that for granted in my life. I want to say, Lord, I want to appreciate the many blessings that You've given. Just given me one more day, one more opportunity to lift Your name up, Lord. If I can walk one more day closer to You, God, it'll be a success if I can just be that much closer to Him. So I want to go ahead and open the service up, and I want to make a couple announcements. We are blessed with some visitors today. It's always nice when more of God's people come in here. We can mingle our spirits together and lift Him up together. Isn't that wonderful? We have Brother Curtis and Sister Jamie Combs, I believe, guest of Brother Ron Johnson. I believe they're right back here. Is that right? Give him a hand. And then Anita Dolans, right here. Oh, I'm sorry, sister. Yes, brother Paul McGowan invited her. We're glad to have you with us. It's very good to have you with us today. It's one of those. Nita, I'm sorry. Yes, that I do see now. I'm marked through that A. Okay, Nita Dolans. We're a church that believes in just open up our arms and inviting all God's people to worship with us and. You know, feel free to, if you sing, if you testify, whatever it is that God puts on your heart. I'll just say this for those who do know me well, especially Sister Tally right over here. She knows I'm not really fond of potluck. Okay, it's just one of those things. I don't know. You know, I don't like 9 different casseroles. It's just me. Okay, but in the house of the Lord, when we bring all our potluck together, you know, when we all have something different that we can bring to the table. We can bring it to God's table, and we all have a different offering, if you will. That's beautiful. That's one potluck I always try to partake in. So, you know, I do, Sister Dolores, appreciate the spiritual potluck as we have. I do, and I try to also get involved in the regular potlucks too. You know, charity suffereth long as kind. So I'm trying to practical application. It's very important. You know, I don't want to read the Word of God and just read it as a dead book, but it's a living book. If I apply it to my life, if I put something into practice there, if I read about, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself, okay, well, great, I'll read that all day long. But, you know, when I start to try to put that into practice, when I realize that there's some things there that I need to put forth a little effort to, I need to say, you know what, have I called my neighbor today? Have I told them, you know what, I appreciate you. I appreciate just your faithfulness. I appreciate seeing your face, it lifts me up. You know, I need to do that a little bit more. I want to put those things at practice. I want to practice those things, not just for doing's sake, but because I want to be like Christ. You know, to be a Christian, it's not a fancy word to just throw out, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, okay, well, actions speak louder than words. I don't need to say anything. But what does the Bible say? It says by the love we show one to another. That's how they'll know that we're his disciples. By how we're getting our love across to people. Those that don't have that, may not have that connection. We never know what a smile, what just a friendly gesture, what that might mean to somebody. So thank you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. There's an action there. There's something we have to get over. It's not just a saying or something that we do, but it's truly needs to be a part of my nature. I want to change my nature. I don't, you know, I know that this nature that I have, that I was born of, it's a manly, it's an Adamic nature. But the more that I let God have control of my heart, the more that I yield myself over to him and just realize, God, I'm a tool in your hand. Just however I can be used of you, then that's when I'll be getting closer to him by just yielding over. And so I'll go ahead and take us to prayer today. I know that we have many needs. Brother Smith, is he in the meeting in Florida? Or where's... Dominican. Oh, I don't know what day it is from day to day, so I don't know where anyone is, I guess. But let's remember Brother Smith. Yes, sir.
Brother and Sister Stewart are here.
Definitely, it's good to see Brother and Sister Stewart and also Sister Bonnie Smith. We have definitely been praying for her. It's just good to see her here. Cheers. But she's feeling better. That's good to see. What other needs that we have here today that we can bring up towards the Lord? Sister York is not feeling good. Sister Sandra, not feeling good today. Let's remember her as well. Let's remember the Angelo family, like you said, Brother Angelo's daughter-in-law. There's a cyst on the brain on that child, on that small baby. So let's remember that need, Brother Josh. I'm sorry. Can pray for that whole community in Connecticut that experienced that horrific loss. Let's remember them and lift those families up today, especially. Yes, ma'am. Just remember Brother Larry Bryant, Sister Vaughn. Let's remember that request. I mean, we know we've been praying, but let's continue. There's some more needs there. Sister Stewart? Let's remember the Lucas family. Been here, been with us, and let's remember them. The loss of Sister Lucas's father, Brother Aleph. Sister Elsie needs prayer today. Let's remember her. Well, yes, we can definitely mention Brother to Joe Hicks. He's been working hard, but let's remember he's thankful to see him back with us here today. Definitely. Let's remember Sister Natalie Dotson. She's not feeling well. Yes, ma'am. Sister Thompson has caught something that she doesn't want to have, so she wants to give it back to whoever gave it to her. Anyone else here that we want to mention up? We bring our needs toward the Lord. We know that.
Yes. She's got a special need in her life. She's trying to make a decision. Let's pray.
Let's remember that. Just today in the youth Bible study, I was talking about when we were talking about practical application. You know, Proverbs 3:5-6. It's we can often quote it, but to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into our own understanding. but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. You know, that's a promise that we have from God, that if we'll just lean over on him and realize, I don't want to take it into my own knowledge, God, but I'm relying on you, he'll give us the answers that we need. So we have that in faith, we can believe that. If there's no other needs, if the ushers would come forward to receive the tithes and offerings, let's go ahead and take these needs for him, if everyone will stand. Dear Savior, dear Lord, we appreciate you, and we thank you for all that you do in our lives, Lord. Help us this day, dear God. We're a needy people, Lord. So many things we bring before you, dear Jesus. Sicknesses, and health, Lord, and our needs, and our, oh God, decisions we have to make. Dear God, we're such a needy, Lord. Dear God, we just come before you, Lord. We lay them at your feet, dear Lord. As our great physician, as the love of our life, Lord, you are so wonderful, worthy to be praised, God. You can help us through these situations, Lord. Oh, God, even when we don't have the answers, Lord, we know we can just lean on you, Lord. In faith, Lord, we believe that you'll take us through these things, Lord. Lift us up, dear God, and help us. Oh, God, help Brother Larry Bryant, Lord, his back, dear Jesus. Oh, God, each and every request, Brother Smith, as he works in the Dominican, Lord, and help our brothers and sisters there, dear Jesus. Oh, God, all these different needs that we have before you, Lord. Sister Bonnie Smith, Lord. Sister Elsie Ratliff, Lord. Oh, God, help the Lucas family, dear Jesus. God, we appreciate you, Lord. We thank you, God, that we have someone we can come to, Lord. Oh, God, you're a great high priest, Lord, that you'll take these needs to God the Father, Lord, and speak on our behalf, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, dear Jesus, so much. Oh, God, thank you for calling us that day, Lord. Let us this way, dear Jesus. Wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you.
today, which we're always happy to have visitors, and I'm glad that one day that I was a visitor among this people, and I've been here a long time. I've enjoyed it so much. I've really enjoyed the things of God. I've enjoyed the Word of God. I always wanted to, as I read my Bible and wonder about different things, and I thought, well, someday I'll meet someone that can tell me exactly what this means. And I met this people, and I've been so happy that I've known this people for a long time. I've told the, I'll just call her Sister Nita. I've got a cousin named Nita, and so this just made it fine that her name's Nita. I told her how that I've been here since I was about 17 years old, and of course, y'all know I'm getting kind of way down the road now. But this has been a wonderful journey. I've enjoyed this church. I've enjoyed the wonderful Word of God, and questions that I wanted to know, I got them answered. I didn't even have to ask. I thought it was so wonderful that the minister got to his feet, and we call that being led by the Lord, because our ministers knows that there's needs in our lives, and they know that we need the Word of God rightly divided. And so the questions that I wanted to know, he answered every one, and I didn't even have to ask him. He was anointed. You know, we're supposed to be anointed by the Spirit of the Lord to bring forth the Word of God. And so he began to talk, and of course, he didn't know what I was wanting, but he just felt to say what he said, and he answered every question that I had in my mind that I was really desiring to understand, and that really, really made an impact on my life. I thought, that is wonderful to know that I got my questions answered and I didn't even have to ask it. And so I was explaining to Sister Nita about to our services, you know, different things was going on to make her feel comfortable. And so today, I'm so happy that we can come to church and that we can feel out for the Lord and we can get our needs met, we can get our questions answered, and we don't have to go home undecided, not knowing what the Word of God means. But so I really appreciate this church, and I love these people. I told you the other night that I love you. I really love you. I look forward every time to come to church, and I don't want to lose that enthusiasm that I have for living for the Lord and wanting to go to church, because you know, if you get where you don't want to go, that's not good. But I'm so happy that every time that I'm glad to get ready, however, you know, my husband and me, we both got back problems. I don't mean to tell you my troubles, but anyway, we have a time getting ready to come to church, but we're always anxious to come, because we know it's just like when you go to the table and eat, you smell that good aroma of the good food and you're ready to eat. Well, that's the way I want to feel when I come to church. I want to smell that good, sweet, spiritual aroma of the Lord, the things of God that we get, because that's what causes our soul to live on. So today, I'm just so happy to be here and thankful for our visitors have come to be with us. I hope they'll enjoy the things of God and really rejoice with us, because we're a happy people. And the Bible teaches us to rejoice in the Lord. I was telling Sister Nita, I have a picture, and I'd already told Brother Painter sometime, but I'd like for him to flash it up on the overhead. Down at our college, they have their ball games, and this, he's the coach, and they was all rejoicing over the ball game, and he jumped way up in the air, and I thought, we come to church to rejoice, and they rejoice, you know. They have their way of enjoying the Lord, enjoying the things that they do, and we do too. So I'm just thankful that, you know, the Lord's good to us. He'll let you enjoy whatever you want to enjoy. He'll let you enjoy it. And isn't that wonderful that we can come to church and we feel like dancing in the Spirit? Well, we just dance because it's Bible. It's Bible. But we rejoice in the Lord, and I would hate to know that that the Lord has things for us, but we can't enjoy them. But to thank you, to thank Him that He is a kind of God, that He allows us to enjoy the wonderful things of God. So today I'm so happy to be here and to enjoy the things that we are enjoying. And before I sit down, I'd like to thank everybody. Last Sunday, I wanted to thank everybody for attending our 70th anniversary and my husband's birthday, the celebration that we had. I want to thank everyone for coming, but it seemed like I didn't have a chance. I mean, I didn't want to, speak at the wrong time, and things was not going such as for me to get up at that time. So I thought, well, I'll wait till a better time. So I just want to thank everyone for coming to our celebration, and we really appreciated it. We enjoyed it, and we thought it was really nice. Everyone that come and everyone was having such a good time. I thought, Lord, before the when we was getting ready for the celebration, I thought, Lord, I hope everybody will come and be so happy. And everyone was. They were just talking and laughing and eating. And we had such a good time. And I want y'all to know that we really appreciate it. You really made our day. And we're just so thankful that we can get together, all of God's people. My daughter said, well, Mom said, I want you to invite all your friends. I said, well, you know, we got a lot of them. She said, I don't care how many. Said, just tell them all to come. So some didn't get to sign the guest book, but we had over 130 people. And so we were just so happy to see everybody rejoicing and enjoying visiting and the food and everything. And so it was really wonderful. And so, of course, I won't promise you the next one, we might not be around, but if we don't, we're going to leave a good taste in your mouth, and we'll go on to the glory of the world. So anyway, God is so good to us, and so thank Him for this another wonderful day, and thank all of you for coming and being with us and helping us to celebrate. So we thank you.
I'm happy to have my company with me, yes. Sister Nita. He's talking about, you know, we believe in righteousness here. And I was over at her house yesterday just checking on her. And she was telling me a little of the situation she was involved in. And she interrupted herself. She said, Paul, that is not right. I'm not going to go that way. You know, when people talk like that, that should let you know they're thinking about righteousness. And that makes me feel good to know there's people around like that. And is that Sister Shay back there I'm looking at? Yeah, that's her. Ah, good to have you with us. Did you sneak in? I must have been talking. It's good to have you with us. Good to have you with us. You know there's a feeling inside God's house that draws people here. And it's drawn me here many, many times. I'm happy for that wonderful feeling. You know, that feeling that God gives, that wonderful feeling that only God can give, that peace, that means a lot. As a matter of fact, I was memorizing a song some time back, talking about you can have peace in the time of sorrow. You know, we can have that. This week I was able to, my company I work with every now and then sends me in directions where I can take advantage of churches. And I was able to go to Brother Hart and Brother Adams' church there in Benton Harbor. And those people have church. Not that we don't have church. You know, we have church too. We get carried away too every now and then. And it's not that we're not having church when we're not carried away. You know, sometimes when we're sitting here, we're meditating on God's word. We're trying to determine which one of us has been closest to God all week, and that's the person we want to get up. You know, but I might get up in their stead, so until they, God deals with them to get up. Anyway. But you know, when you go to the house of God and you reach out to God and you feel that wonderful feeling, when you walk through the doors and you feel those arms of love wrapped around you, whether you be here or in another church, you know, where people are trying to reach out to God, then you know you're at home. I told them, I said, you know, I really love being in a church where you can shut your eyes, raise your hands toward heaven, and you feel like you're at home. I love that feeling. And anyway, I really might ought to repent to you folks. I haven't read my Bible this week. I've been trying to learn how to get on the Facebook. I've told my wife, I said, I really love this thing. She told me, she said, I'm going to take that away from you because you're getting hooked on it. But it reminds me of our relationship with God. That's what that reminds me of. I told her, I said, baby, this thing is great. You can talk to people you never see. You can just have a conversation with them, you know. And that's the way it is with our God. We can just have a conversation with him. We've never needed Facebook for that before. But, you know, I've told y'all that my goal in life is to aggravate everybody I can when I get out of bed. But that gives me a golden opportunity to reach out and aggravate everybody. I just love that. You know, it's horrible when you feel like you've gone to heaven before you've ever left this life. But you know, we get God's word out and we start reading it. And we see where them people enjoyed their relationship with God. They enjoyed it. In the Old Testament, they enjoyed it. In the New Testament, they enjoyed it. Can you imagine? You know, any one of them stories, you take any one of them. When Samson killed those 1,000 Philistines, can you imagine the feeling he had? When Elijah had that confrontation with the 400 prophets of Baal, and it went like it did, can you imagine that feeling he had? Oh, the list goes on. God was with Ahab. That time he only had 6,000 people in his army. And there was, the Bible said the enemy was like the sand of the sea. He was like two little flocks of kids. But they put that battle in array, and they killed over 100,000 people in the first day. Can you imagine the feeling? Can you imagine that? I read those stories, and then I look at the technology we got today, and I said, wow, this is great. But you know, the day's going to come, we've got to lay that down. As a matter of fact, Brother Adams was talking about the other night, eternal judgment, what Brother Smith's been talking about. And we serve a righteous God, and the day's going to come, we've got to lay this technology down. But you know, we'll have a feeling inside of us that will lead us. We won't have to push buttons to determine which way to go, our GPS, but we'll have a feeling. You know, this way, that way. My brother Wayne's told me that before. He's gone into cities, and he felt like the church was maybe down here, you know, that he was looking for. Come to find out later, there it was. It was down there. He went to Houston. You went? Yeah, he went to a meeting. Didn't have any directions. Nope. Did you have a telephone number? You didn't have anything. He didn't have anything. And God led him to that church. Yeah. Isn't that just absolutely great? Yeah. Isn't that just... And you look at that and you say... And then we come to church and we sit here. And you say, are we wasting time? No, we're not wasting time. We turned on our GPS. What did you call it the other night? Brother Pryor, you called it Garmin? I'm sorry, I always called it just a GPS. Garmin? Well, there you go. I let you know. I didn't call it that either. But, huh? Yeah, I know now. I read the name on my GPS. But, but we won't need that. God will lead us. He will lead us and direct us. We'll be able to feel it. And we'll do what he wants us to do just because of that wonderful feeling down deep inside. I'm happy for that. I'm happy to know we serve a God that will deal with us and let us feel that righteousness. That, as a matter of fact, brother, our minister has been talking about that subject, that particular subject. And I've told you folks, I was afraid of that subject at one time. Eternal judgment. I thought it was only for bad people. But it's not. It's for good people. It's for good people. When we get on our knees and knock on heaven's door, we know we are talking to a friend. That's part of eternal judgment. We are talking to a friend. And I'm happy for that. Anyway, our other visitors that's here, thank you for being with us too. What did you say your name was? What was your name? Curtis, we want y'all to come back and see us again, you understand. And if you don't get up tonight or today, you have to get up twice the next time. So, twice the next time. Anyway, I'm happy to be here. I feel like God is our friend. He's our Savior. He's our King. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's really good to be here in the house of God. It's good any time to be in the house of God. I looked over and I was telling my wife when we first got here early, I said, boy, the Spirit is really here. It trails here. You know, it's about coming in somewhere and you just feel the Spirit of God that just moves you. And so there was no absence of that from the time we walked in the door. And I'm just glad to be here. And we really thank y'all for having us here in the house of God.
His help and the help of the Lord, I'll get through it, and I know I will now. I didn't know that before, but I know now. And I'd like to thank all the people here, the wonderful feeling, and I'll be back. Thank you.
I just want to thank God for me being here. I wasn't going to come this morning like I did last Sunday, because I always seem to make an excuse. Honestly, what got me here was my husband. We've been separated for over a year now, and haven't talked. Every time we talked, we always argued. And I didn't think, you know, it was any hope in our marriage. And some way or another, I end up getting in contact with him, and I didn't want to call him because I felt like, you know, all we're going to do is argue. I didn't want to call him or talk to him or try to work it out. But when I did, it was something. It was of God, because I knew God was telling me to call him for a reason, even though I didn't want it to. And I was fighting with it on calling him. And we just had a conversation like we've never had before. And like I told him, he didn't think that it was going to get any better either. But like I told him, if we both work on it and, you know, we both can make things better and get back to our lives that we had. And he made sure that he called me this morning and was like, hey, you make sure that you go to that church that you've been telling us about that you love. And that's what got me up. And I came late. And on my way here, I said, you know, please don't let the pastor start preaching before I get there. And so when I got here, I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm just thankful that we had a conversation without arguing. And I felt like even though he's far away, our hearts still touched. And I know that there's hope. And I just want to thank God.
Tell you what, we could dismiss service now and say we've had a good service. We really could. We're so thrilled to have each of you that are here today. You can't imagine how thrilled we are, you know. And to know that God can touch your lives, we know that. But to hear it again just kind of thrills us even that much more. And, you know, my brother Paul, who was just up speaking a few minutes ago, made the statement that I told him through the years that I've had some experiences that was strange to me, and yet I still had them. Thought I'd kind of get up and explain myself a little bit, since he kind of throwed it out on the floor. I'm not necessarily a strange person, I don't think. You know, I was born, raised in the country. I know what a clodhopper is. For those of you that don't know what a clodhopper is, it's a guy that's following a plow and he's jumping over the dirt that's been being piled up on each side of it. Know the difference between a turning plow and a middle buster. And then of course we kind of got a little more modern and went to farming equipment that had cultivators on them. And so we got away from some of those hand tools. But I was glad. I was glad. But I know what disk in a field is. I know a lot of those things. But now when you get to a computer and to some of these cell phones and some of these terminologies that they use now on cell phones, you know, I know what a Facebook is, but I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I just know kind of how to turn it on and scale through some of it. And so I'm learning something about that as well. But I thought here as he was talking that, you know, a Facebook is good to let us talk to each other. But you don't have to have a Facebook to talk to God. And I'm thrilled about that. I really am, you know. I'm telling you right now, if I had to depend on Facebook to talk to God, I'd be in trouble, I'm afraid. I'd have to get some of these kids around here to show me how to do all that. And you know, I round up my grandchildren to tell me how to operate my cell phone. They know more about it than I do, you know. And I got with my grandson yesterday. Let's see, I set the clock on my cell phone to wake us up at 7 o'clock in the morning, you know. Really not to wake us up, because I'm awake well before that. But I wanted to see if I could set it to get it to go off. That's really what I was after trying to do. And I've set it twice for 7 o'clock in the morning to see if the thing would go off. I've set it two different times. It didn't go off. So I got with my grandson. I said, look, I said, you know, this thing, I've set it twice for 7 o'clock. I said, what's wrong with it? He said, well, it's really not anything wrong with the phone. It's the guy that set it. I said, all right. Now tell me how to do it. So he set it for me, and this morning it went off at 7 o'clock. So now I'm probably going to have to get with him and find out how to reset it so that I can do it again for the next morning. But anyway, we're in God's kingdom, we're in God's house, and we're glad to be here, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
When I come among this people, I was looking for something, you know. I was looking for a peace that I didn't have. I was hungry for something that I really didn't even know what I was hungry for. I was in a mess and didn't know how to get it straightened out. You know, I knew if I stayed where I was at, it's kind of like the saying that I don't even know who coined the phrase, but it makes a statement, if you keep on doing what you've always done and expect changes, you're crazy. It's not going to happen, you know, and some people try God. I mean, they really are they use him as a last resort. And that part of it's good, but when he makes the changes or when he helps them to get things started in the right direction, then they said, okay, God, we can handle it from here. Put him on the back burner. But God really wants to be in your life from here on the rest of your lives. When I come to the Lord, when I got saved and repented of my sins, I told him that I really wanted to serve him the rest of my life. I wanted to be a part of his kingdom. I wanted to be a part of what he's doing in the earth. And I definitely wanted to make heaven my eternal home. And when I come here, I knew very little about the great plan of salvation that he has for mankind. And some of the things that I thought I knew, they was in a mess. Really wasn't the truth. And you know, it didn't take long until I found out that God had a plan for people that was so much better than what I thought it was. Well, I was glad to kind of shovel that stuff to the side and take up the truth. And that's the thing about this people. We're desirous of the truth of the Word of God. And when we say that, you know, you can look at the Word of God and you can draw conclusions. But our minds, we're bias-minded. Everybody in this world is bias-minded because the world has been sown down with false thoughts, false ideas about God, you know. And so when you read the Bible, it's easy to apply it to what you've already thought or what somebody's put in your mind. You just apply it to that. But when you find somebody that's got the real truth, you know, and you get to listening to them and they start down through the scriptures And I'm not talking about a pig trail through the Bible. I'm talking about the scriptures, the word of God, the word that people, when you hear it, you know on the inside that it's the truth. You know down inside that this is the way that it really is. And God doesn't try, you know, when we become a child in his family, he is not trying to kill us. And don't take the idea. Don't you realize that if God can take, as Brother Paul said here a while ago, that if a man can take 600 men with God on his side and kill 100,000 in one day, how big a trouble do you think it'd be for God to just snuff us out? You know, put a finger over our candle. Wouldn't take much, would it? God's not really trying to kill us. He's trying to save us. Get that in your mind. God is trying to save us. When we were born into this world, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We were destined to die without any life, without any hope, without anything. But God, through his mercy, through his grace, he reached down and touched us and helped us to become a part of his family. Hallelujah. What an opportunity we have. What a great touch. You know, he could have just left us out there. There's thousands of people that have never, ever had a touch from God. And there'll be thousands more that'll live and die and they'll never be touched of God. But we can't go to the grave today and say we haven't been touched of a heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Thank God. Woo. Hallelujah. And if you're not used to a person kind of getting excited, I'm sorry. I'm not one to talk about the wonderful things of God and not get excited about it. Even though, you know, I can't do the running and jumping like I used to. You know, I used to do it. Somebody said, well, what do you do now? I just remember how I used to do it. You know, I remember I used to could. that was a real strong term my mother used to use, especially in her latter years. Well, I used to could, you know. And but God touched our lives. He's done something for us. Yeah. He brought us from death unto life. What a wonderful God he is. If that's all he done, if that's all that he done, we can live throughout the rest of our lives thanking God for what he's done just for that one point. Just for that one point. We know that in his kingdom, when we get, you know, when somebody talks and the Spirit of God begins to deal with us, we're to get saved. You know, we come down to an altar and repent. And when I say come down to an altar, it's not necessarily to these benches. But in our hearts, we come to an altar and we realize that, God, my life is in a mess. I need your leadings. I need your guidance to take me from here on through the rest of my life. We get saved, you know. And that's what John the Baptist was talking about, you know. He preached repentance. People could repent. But there's another experience in his great plan of salvation called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we realize that a lot of people don't understand it, and they think it's false. They think it's something that's wrong. But there was people in the Bible that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the evidence of it was speaking in tongues. And I'm not talking along these things to scare you. I'm talking to let you know that it's a step, it's a part of the great plan of salvation that God has for his people. And I remember the night that I received it in my life, that God touched my life, and I received the wonderful Holy Ghost. It didn't hurt me. It didn't kill me. In fact, it helped me. It's done something for my life that nothing else could do. Hallelujah. Thank God. It's led me through a lot of things that kept me out of a lot of problems. You know, I remember one time that I was in New Mexico driving a truck, and I was I was looking for a place called Corrales, New Mexico. I had looked in my book of maps. I turned to the map of New Mexico. There was no Corrales there. It was spelled like Corrales, C-I-R-R-O-L-L, I think S. Might have been an E-S on it. And I looked at the printout of the little square map of Albuquerque. I did not see a Corrales in there. In fact, I was pronouncing it Corrales. You know, and I drove like 125 or 30 miles and stopped and asked these people, you know, I said, do you folks know I took the bill of lading to them? Do you know where this place is at? Oh, Corrales. Oh, is that the way you say it, you know? Where is it at? Well, that's up close to Albuquerque. That's okay. How'd I get there from here? Well, they couldn't give me any good directions. So I looked at my map again and found another place that was spelled similar to Corrales. Now, I finally got the pronunciation right. It was Corrales, not Corrales. So I went to that place, stopped and asked another person, can you tell me how to get to Corrales? Yeah, that's down there close to Albuquerque. I said, okay. So I took off into the direction of Albuquerque. I had left Albuquerque that morning. But now I had put on nearly 200 miles trying to get to Corrales. Well, north of Corrales, or north of Albuquerque, there was a, I guess for better words, I can't think of a better word to describe it other than just a honky-tonk. You know, it was about the only place open that I could find that I could get my truck in there off the highway. And I went in with this bill of lading in my hands. There's a young lady who approached me and said, sir, said, you look like you're lost. I said, I am. There was two reasons why she said that. One is I wasn't in the right place as far as just geographical location, you know, as far as the map is concerned, but the other one was because that I was dressed a lot different than she was. I wasn't in the right place. She could tell by looking at me I was in the wrong place. I said, if you can tell me how to get to this place right here, it won't take me long to leave your place of work. She said, all right, I can tell you. So she told me exactly how to get there. Do you know I parked that truck in the same parking spot two nights in a row, and I had driven all day to get back to Corrales? It was right there. It's a suburb of Albuquerque. So if anybody ever wants to find Corrales, give me a call. I can tell you how to get there. And God's the same way with us. He's the same way. But what I was trying to say was is that the Holy Ghost can protect us when we're in the wrong location. If we'll listen to it, listen to it, listen to it. People can tell by looking at us that we're in the wrong place. Another thing we've had to happen, Sister Ann and I both have had this happen here in the last few weeks. You know, she was, where were you at, Sister Ann, when this lady said you was a so-and-so from another church? Okay, she'd gone into a private home, was talking to this lady. She said, are you a member of so-and-so church? She said, no, I'm not a member of that church. But she said, we do have some things similar to them. But, you know, it wasn't keeping her out of trouble. She just, this lady just knew, you know, by her dress that she had some things in common with other people. But God has the Holy Ghost ready for us if we'll accept it. If we'll accept it. It's a gift. It's not something that's bad. And I know that a lot of people, you know, they want to make it out as bad, but they got to me too late. You know, there's too many people that was telling me about it. I knew my grandma had it. I knew my mother had it. And it had helped them through life. And I knew a lot of other people that had it. So Brother and Sister Crow, I knew them. They had it. And I knew it had helped them. I figured, well, if it's helped them, surely goodness can do something for me. So I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what it is, it's a part, it's still just a part of the plan of salvation. Getting saved is a part of it. It's an important part. You've got to get saved. You know, Paul said, and I've inserted the words first and second because in this scripture, Paul said that he made the statement. He said, you have to be, how is it going here? I'm losing my thought just a second. You have to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the other part is, help me out here. You have to believe that he is. Yeah, you have to believe that God is. I've inserted the words first and second. You have to first believe that God is. If you don't believe that he is, there's no such thing as you fulfilling that second part. Now, if you look in the scripture, you won't find the words first and second. But I can tell you now that if you don't believe that he is, you're surely not going to believe that he'll reward you about diligently seeking him. It ain't going to happen. You have to first believe that there's a God in heaven and that he'll take care of you and he'll watch after you. If you believe that, then you can believe that he'll reward you if you'll diligently seek him. You can believe that. You know, and what I'm trying to portray here is that these are parts of the plan of salvation that God has for us. Now then, after that, you say, well, if that's just a part, what's the rest of it? He's got some good things ahead for us. He's got some good things ahead for us. Brother Paul made mention about the experience my wife and I and two sisters had when we went to went to Fort Worth one time. I thought that an older sister that was in the car with us had the directions when we left. She thought that I had the directions when we left. She said, he's driving, he should have the directions. I thought, she's the oldest, she's closer to the pastor than I am, she should have the directions, you know. Neither one of us had them. But we didn't know that until we got past Texarkana. I asked her, I said, do you have directions? No, I thought you had them. <You know? laughs> I said, Sister Foster was the one I was referring to. I said, Sister Foster, I thought you had those directions and Brother Tucker would probably give them to you. I'm not driving. She said, you're the one driving. You ought to have the directions. I thought, oh, Lord. Sister, my wife asked me, said, Wayne, what in the world are you going to do? I said, we're going to go to Fort Worth. I said, I believe the Lord can lead us to that church. I'd never been in Fort Worth before. I didn't know anywhere about where that church was at. Anyway, our gas got kind of low. Ed spotted the gauge. She said, Wayne said, you need to pull off someplace and get some gas. I said, well, I was intending to because I can tell that the gas head is getting down toward the E, and I know that's empty, and I don't like pushing cars. So we pulled off the freeway, and I made a drive down the street there, pulled into a gas station, and we were filling the car up, and this attendant come out there where I was at. I said, I am looking for a church that's having a a meeting this week. I said, and I don't have the address. I don't know where it's at. I don't know if I have a street number. I don't have nothing. I don't have even a phone number. I said, I do know that, it, you know, who the pastor is. And he said, well, he said, maybe I can help you out. I said, how's that? He said, can you kind of get up on your tiptoes and look right over yonder? I said, sure. You know, and I stood up on my tiptoes and looked across over another guy's car. And the church was within less than 2 blocks of where we were sitting. So I thought, you know, Lord, you sure helped us, and I'm certainly appreciative, because I was not looking forward to driving all over Fort Worth trying to find a church. And then other times back down through the years, I drove a truck and delivered furniture, and I'd drive into a town and pull up to an intersection that's, you know, feel like going right or left, and I'd drive right up to the stores, and never been in a town before, never knew anybody. I did have the addresses of those stores, though, and I did have a phone number most of the time. But I'd drive right up to them. And I was telling my wife, you know, I told my wife about it several times. We was in California. And I can't even think of the name of the town we was in over there. This is one of the suburbs of California, of Los Angeles, that was bigger than Little Rock and Little Rock combined. Anyway, we was coming back through Chino, coming back home. And she said, Wayne, said, you've been telling me all these years, you know, how that you can find places. I said, yeah. She said, I want you to kind of give me an idea of where the church is at. If we come to an intersection, you feel like you know where it's at. It's all right. So we came to a traffic light. And I said, Ann, I said, if we was to turn left and go down the highway here about a mile, I said, would that church be on the right-hand side? Never was there. Now, I have never gone there. So she wrote down the street name and where we was at. She said, I'm going to ask this truck when we get back home. All right. So we got home, and sure enough, she asked Sister Tucker, said, Sister Tucker, how would you get to that church in Chino, California? Well, I missed it about a quarter of a mile. She said, when you got to that traffic light and turned right, you'd have to go down the road about a mile and a quarter to get to the church. She come back to me after she talked to Sister Tucker, said, Wayne, said, you're right. How did you know? I said, there's a feeling. And I said, don't ask me to explain it. But I said, I don't know how it is. But I tell you one thing, I believe that every person in this church house today can develop the Holy Ghost in your life to such a degree that you'll know when God wants you to do something. I believe that. And here, look, let me say this to you that are visiting for the first time. I believe that God led you here today. I believe that, you know. I mean, my brother maybe influenced you, sister, a little bit. But by and large, it was God that dealt with your hearts, you know. And the scripture said that God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, we can't add you here. You know, as much as we'd like to add people, then I'll guarantee you we'd like to add a whole bunch of people. We got plenty of room, don't you think? We'd like to add a bunch of people. But it's really not up to us. This is God's house, and He adds to the church. And we're glad you're here. We do want you to know that. We're glad you're here. Woo, my Lord. I can't even express in words how glad we are that you're here. And then, but I was trying to say that God has a plan of salvation for us that's so much better than what we give Him credit for, until it's amazing. You know, Sister Crow said that she's been here a long time, been working at this a long time. I haven't been working as long as she has, but I tell you one thing, it's still just as thrilling today as it was the day we started, right, Sister Crow? I wish that there would be some way that I could bundle it up and hand it to a young person and say, here, take this and keep it till I get back. I told our youth band here the other day, I've been playing a tenor sax in this church now for a number of years, not near as good as I'd like to, but I said, I found out that those tenor saxes will last a long time if you take care of them. I'd like to find some young person that would take that tenor sax and learn how to play it and say, okay, this is on loan to you for a little while. When I leave this world, I want you to know I'm coming back. Found out something about the resurrections, you know. A lot of people won't talk about them, but we have. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on them today, but here's the thing about God's plan of salvation. He's interested in you. He's interested in me. I'm one of his children. How many of you have got children today? Some of us got children and grandchildren, you know, and how many of us want to kill our children? You know, never. Now I'm not talking about actually doing it, you know, or thinking about it. I'm just talking about how many of you really would like to kill your kids, you know. Never mind the thoughts crossed our minds once or twice, but we've never done it, have we? Never have done it. There's a reason for that. Because we love our children. Even when they get into the most mischief thing that we can think of, the worst thing that we can imagine, you know, one of them things that we'd like to just kind of pinch their heads off and, you know, roll it down the aisle or something. But we won't do it because we love them. Let me tell you something. God loves us more than we love our children. God loves us more than we love our own children. He does. He cares for us. And the thing about it is, when you become a child of God, you know, like my children, when they were born into my family, they become a McGowan. I've got a son. He's lived now for a little over 40 years. His name is still McGowan. And when he dies, he's going to die a McGowan. He could probably go to a court someplace and get his name changed. But it's not going to change the fact that he was born a McGowan. When you were born into God's family, you become a child of God. And you're not going to get away from God. You can get away from me. You can get away from this church. You can get away from these brethren here on the platform. Get away from these saints. You can do that. But you can't get away from God. And God's going to deal with you from here on out the rest of your life. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? My Lord, I'd hate to think that God would turn me loose. I'd hate to think along those lines. But I'm glad to be here today and to be a part of his great family, and to know that I'm learning something about his kingdom. I'm learning something about the way that he works among his people. I'd like to learn a lot more, because, you know, we've got other people out here that's just as hungry as we are. They really are. There's people out here in this world that are starving to death, and they're looking for something. They're longing for something to take some of this load off their lives, off their shoulders. And God is the only one that has the key. God is the one that has the key. Thought here's our sister was referring to her marriage. God has the key to that. God has the key. I don't have it. I wish I did. I can tell you right now, I could probably make a lot of money, you know, going around and saying, here's the key to your problems. Here's the key to your problems. The only thing I can do is recommend, look, Jesus has the keys. I can introduce you to him. I can let you know that he cares and he's interested in you. He's interested in your situation. But he's the one that has the keys. If you'll turn your life over to him, He'll help you through it. I'm glad to be here today and be a part.
Spirit wash over me. Well, this has been a good day.
Hey, Brother Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Before you dismiss, we got one announcement we can make.
Okay, go ahead.
We got a special treat. You got to come out next Sunday for Bible study and breakfast, because we're having a big breakfast. We're having pancakes, biscuits and gravy. Have you ever had chocolate gravy? Have you ever wanted to try chocolate gravy? What's that? Well, we'll have strawberries and whipped cream. So we're gonna have a real big breakfast. Brother Smith will be back in town, and so we're gonna have eggs and all that other fixings. And she don't like chocolate gravy, but there's a lot of people who like chocolate. Brother John, have you ever had chocolate gravy? You need to come 9:30 next Sunday and have my wife's chocolate gravy, and you'll be a believer in it. So, yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to make that announce. Yes. Oh, yeah, it's also potluck next Sunday, too. So hope to have y'all come out next Sunday for breakfast. Go ahead, brother. Saturday here. We're also having a men's breakfast fellowship meeting next Saturday at 8:30 right here at church downstairs. So everybody come and bring your Bible. As Brother Smith, he wants to deal on elders. We've been working on elders in the church. So, let's just band practice. When? 4:00. Is there choir at 3:00? Everybody here at 3:00 that's in the choir, and youth band at 3:00. Got a lot going on. And if you can't find nothing to do, there's plenty of things that there's plenty of things around here to keep you busy. Why don't we stand and thank the Lord and ask Him to go with us and come back at 5:00. Glory to God. Thank you, God, for this wonderful service that we had here today. God, for the way that you touched us and blessed us and met our needs. God,